Ever wondered, like, if you slipped a little something extra to, say, an employee at a company overseas?
Oh, you mean like a bribe?
Yeah, bribe, like during a handshake or something.
Yeah.
Could that land you in trouble, even if it's not directly with, like, a government official?
Absolutely, yeah. That's a big no-no under US law, even if it seems a bit, under the radar.
So, like, what if the company is owned by a foreign government, but it's, structured like a regular company?
That's where things get really tricky. You'd think it wouldn't be a problem, right? But
But it totally can be.
yeah, it definitely can be. And that's what we're going to dive into today, a really important law for anyone interested in international business, especially for you future lawyers out there.
It's the FCPA.
The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
Right, the FCPA.
It's all about preventing US companies and individuals from using bribery to get ahead in foreign markets.
So no sneaky gifts to get those contracts, huh?
No sneaky gifts. And the FCPA has two main parts. One, it straight up prohibits bribery of foreign officials. And two, it sets strict accounting rules for companies to make sure everything's transparent.
Okay, so that makes sense. But the big question is, who exactly counts as a foreign official under the FCPA?
Right, and that's where things get interesting.
Especially when you're talking about state-owned companies, right? Like, is everyone who works for a state-owned company considered a foreign official?
Well, to figure that out, we got to unpack a super important case, United States v. Aguilar. This case really dives deep into how the FCPA applies to employees of companies owned, at least in part, by foreign governments.
Yeah, I mean, as a law student, this stuff is gold. It's like real-world application of those textbook concepts.
Exactly. So our goal today is to break down the Aguilar case, look at the facts, understand the big legal issue, and figure out the court's reasoning. By the end, you'll get why this case is such a big deal in international business law.
All right, so let's get to the specifics of Aguilar. What exactly happened? Like, what was going on? Okay, so the case involved this company, Lindsay Manufacturing, a U.S. firm, and a couple of its executives. Plus, this guy named Enrique Aguilar, who acted as a sort of middleman.
And what did they allegedly do?
Well, the U.S. government accused Lindsay Manufacturing of trying to bribe officials at this Mexican company, CFE,
What's CSE?
Comisión Federal de Electricidad. It's Mexico's state-owned electric company. It's a big deal down there.
So Lindsay Manufacturing was trying to like get some favorable treatment from this state-owned entity.
That's the gist of it. They supposedly disguised these bribes as commissions and routed the money through inflated invoices from Aguilar's company. Sneaky stuff.
Okay, classic bribery scheme. But wasn't there some argument about whether those CFE folks were even foreign officials under the FCPA? I mean, even though CFE was state-owned?
You got it. That's the heart of the case. The defense argued that CFE, despite being owned by the Mexican government, wasn't really what the FCPA means when it talks about an instrumentality of a foreign government.
And that's the key term, right? Instrumentality. Exactly. The FCPA prohibits bribing foreign officials, which includes officers or employees of an instrumentality of a foreign government. You can find that definition in 15 USC Section 78D 2 HSDC.
You sure know your legal citations.
Gotta love those statutes. But anyway, the question in Aguilar was, could a state-owned company like CFE really be considered an instrumentality of the Mexican government? Like, was it just a company that happened to be owned by the government, or was it something more, something that acted, like an arm of the government?
Right, like a tool of the state.
Yeah.
So how did the court decide if a state-owned company was truly an instrumentality? Like, what was their process?
They didn't just look at whether the government owned it, they dug deep. They considered how much control the Mexican government had over CFE. They looked at whether CFE basically performed government functions. And they even looked at how people saw CFE, both in Mexico and around the world.
So it wasn't a simple yes or no.
Not at all. It was a whole big analysis. And from that analysis, they developed the famous five-factor test for figuring out what an instrumentality really is.
Five factors. That's like lawyer's dream, right?
Yes.
A nice clear checklist. So what are those five magic factors?
Okay, first, was the entity, like CFE, created by law as a public entity? Second, is it run by people appointed by the government? Third, does it do things that governments typically do? For CFE, that'd be providing electricity, which is often a public service. Fourth, how much control does the government have over the entity? And fifth, is it seen as a government agency within its own country?
Okay, I see. So they're really trying to see how deeply connected the company is to the government, not just whether the government technically owns it.
Exactly. So how did CFE measure up against these factors? Well, pretty well, it turns out.
Yeah, the court found that CFE was established by Mexican law as, and this is important, a decentralized public entity.
Yeah.
It's run by government officials. It has a monopoly on electricity distribution in Mexico, something the court said was a core government function, you know, like providing water or roads. Plus, even the Mexican Constitution says providing electricity is a government function. And on top of all that, CFE presented itself as a government agency in Mexico. So
they tick all the boxes.
Pretty much. And because of that, the court said CFE employees could be considered foreign officials under the FCPA, which meant the bribery charges against Lindsay Manufacturing could go ahead.
Wow. So even though CFE looked like a company, walked like a company, talked like a company, it was still considered an arm of the government.
Right. The court basically shut down this idea that employees of all state-owned companies were automatically off limits under the FCPA. They said, nope, if it acts like a government, it's fair game.
That's a huge win for, like, anti-corruption efforts.
Right. For sure. And it's not just a U.S. thing either. There's a global movement towards holding entities accountable for corruption, even if they look like regular companies.
Okay. So the defense... They must have had some arguments against applying the FCPA to a state-owned company, right? What were their points?
Their main argument was that the FCPA didn't specifically say anything about state-owned corporations when it defined instrumentality. Like, Congress should have been clearer if they meant to include them.
So, like, a technicality argument.
Kinda. But the court didn't buy it. They said the law's history was a bit vague on that specific point. And more importantly, they said, we got to look at the big picture. What's the purpose of the FCPA?
To prevent corruption.
Exactly. And the defense also argued that being too broad with the instrumentality definition would confuse businesses.
Yeah.
Like, how would they know who they could and couldn't work with?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a fair point. It's got to be clear for businesses what the rules are.
The court agreed that clarity was important. But they ultimately said... We can't let worries about a little bit of uncertainty get in the way of the FCPA's core mission, stopping corruption.
Makes sense. And didn't the court also look at some of the U.S.'s international agreements when making this decision?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They specifically brought up the OECD Anti-Bribery Convention.
OECD.
The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. It's this big international group, and the U.S. is a member.
Right, right. Okay, so what about this convention?
Well, it basically makes all the member countries agree to criminalize bribery of what they call public functionaries. And the court said, look, interpreting instrumentality broadly to include entities like CFE actually helps the U.S. meet its promises under this convention. They didn't want to create a loophole that let companies get away with bribery just because the entity they bribed was technically a corporation.
So the court was saying it's not just about the letter of the U.S. law, but also about honoring international agreements and fighting corruption on a global scale.
Exactly. And they emphasized the big picture, the whole reason the FCPA exists. They argued that exempting state-owned companies just because they're structured like corporations would totally defeat the purpose of the law.
It would be a huge loophole. Companies could just funnel bribes through these state-owned companies and claim they weren't bribing foreign officials.
Exactly. So, bottom line, what's the takeaway for our listeners, especially those future lawyers?
What should we all remember about Aguilar?
Well, first, it really widens the net of who can be held liable under the FCPA. Companies involved in international business, you got to be super careful, especially when dealing with entities linked to foreign governments.
Even if they look like normal companies.
Even then, you can't just look at ownership. You got to dig deeper. How is the entity organized? How does it work? What's its relationship with the government really like?
Sounds like due diligence is more important than ever.
Oh, yeah. It's crucial. You can't assume a state-owned company is the same as a private company when it comes to the FCPA.
So Aguilar basically said, if it acts like a government agency, it is one, as far as the FCPA is concerned.
You got it.
And that five-factor test is the key, right? Huh. Created by statute, run by government appointees, performs government functions, controlled by the government, seen as a government agency.
Yep, those are the five biggies. But remember, it's a case-by-case thing. There's no automatic answer.
Okay, so no easy shortcuts. And what about the policy reasons behind the decision? Why did the court go this way?
Well, they really wanted to uphold the FCPA's main goal, to stop corruption in international business. They also pointed to international agreements like that OECD anti-bribery convention, which, yeah, you know, targets bribery of public functionaries. So they were saying, hey, we got to be consistent with our international commitments.
So it's all about a level playing field and stopping corruption wherever it pops up.
Exactly.
Well, this has been super informative. Thanks for breaking down Aguilar for us.
You got it. It's a fascinating case, and it really shows how complex international business law can be.
It definitely raises some questions for the future, too. Like, with globalization and state-owned companies becoming even more common, how will the FCPA evolve to keep up?
That's a great question. And it's something all you future lawyers should be thinking about.
What new challenges will we face? And how do we make sure the law stays effective in fighting corruption? Lots to ponder. Thanks again for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See you then.